Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one starts off with college football. We know we've had the college football playoff games taking place. One more to go, unfortunately, due to the tragic events in New Orleans. The game did not take place, the Sugar Bowl, that is, last night. So it'll be this afternoon, 3 o'clock. It'll be Georgia taking on Notre Dame. Georgia 1.5-point underdogs in this one. Yesterday we saw one of the best college football games of the year, if not the best college football game of the year. Texas and Arizona State going to multiple overtimes, and it was Texas that came out on top. Texas is now the second best odds to win the national title. Ohio State, after their just dominant performance against Oregon. I mean, that was as dominant as you'll see for against a team that was undefeated, against a team that everybody viewed as the best team in college football all year. But Ohio State moves on as well. So we'll see what the matchup will be. Penn State will play the winner of Notre Dame, Georgia, and then Texas, Ohio State in Arlington, too. Going to be a lot of fun next week.
Yeah, there's a lot of college football. Now, none of the games have been close, which we can talk about here in just a minute.
Arizona State, Texas, man, that was as close as it can get, overtimes.
One game, and I would say, maybe the Boise game is a little bit closer than we thought, but still a limitation to that. But I also just, there's so much goes into it. We are pretending like that this is a sport not built on blowouts.
Yeah, and we're going to talk more about this.
That's the whole sport!
In the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to talk more about the college football playoff and the clear changes, though, that do need to happen, and I think will.
I think there's a few obvious ones.
With seeding and who gets bye weeks. I think those are fair criticisms.
Yeah. Oregon's still going to be looking at the bracket and being like, we knew they were screwed from the beginning.
Yeah, that was not a surprise. Now, being down, 31-0 or whatever, saw that coming.
No. Next up on What's Trending, 5 Chiefs were named Pro Bowlers for the 2025 Pro Bowl games. Creed Humphrey a starter, Chris Jones a starter, Joe Tooney the starters for the Chiefs, 2 backups in Travis Kelce and Trey Smith. 8 other players were listed as alternates, including Trent McDuffie, not a starter in the Pro Bowl or even a backup.
It's all right. They don't play in this game anyway.
And Patrick Mahomes, Pro Bowl alternate, which is a weird headline if you look at it. Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and who am I forgetting? Lamar Jackson, the 3 Pro Bowlers in the AFC.
Yeah. I'll be honest. In Kansas City, the Pro Bowl's become such a non-factor. It really has in Kansas City. When's the last time
I didn't watch him before. I care even less now.
Because it's 6 years ago, I would have actually been really curious when they announced the Pro Bowl. I would be like, I wonder who's going to be in the Pro Bowl. Like, no joke, this just tells you how things have evolved. We used to have conversations on the show about who might be a Pro Bowler. Like, these were things 6 years ago, we weren't doing the show, but you get my point.
Yes.
Like, these were real conversations.
5 years ago, we were.
Yeah, today, 5-year anniversary of the show. But, like, those were real things. Now it's like, who cares? Who cares about the Pro Bowl? Who gives a damn? Like, the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. They don't play in the Pro Bowl anyway. And if the Chiefs don't make it to the Super Bowl this year, a lot of those guys, unless they're first-time Pro Bowlers, are not going to play. They're going to take the extra week off and say, I'm out. Patrick Mahomes is playing as an alternate if Lamar Jackson makes the Super Bowl.
Unlikely.
No chance.
He'll use the ankle, I think, as you mentioned, as ace.
As he should. Next up on Watch String, just a small Royals minor move, like literally minor move. Austin Cox has been signed to a minor league contract. Might be a familiar name for some of you. He's dealt with some injury too, but he's back on a minor league contract. Maybe some of that, as the season progresses, could factor in late in the year.
I was actually kind of—I was rooting for him for a little bit.
Yeah, we met him at the.
Yeah, we did the watch party for the Chiefs and Jets with our guy Vinny Pasquantino. He was there with a little bit, and he had the whole big straight leg brace on. It was the first time he got out. He lives in town. I was like, oh, you know what? I'm rooting for Austin Cox. Yeah. He lives in town. So I was like, yeah, not a minor league deal. Maybe something comes through. Maybe eventually he finds a good spot with the Royals organization. Good to see him back. And like lastly, you said, last name, what's trending? Yeah. It's 5 years since this show started to the date. 5 years of Cody and Gold, thanks to you, obviously. If you guys didn't listen to the show, it turns out they wouldn't let us continue to do it. That's generally the way it works when people stop listening.
That's right.
They just no longer let you continue to do the show. So thanks to you for giving us 5 years of this show.
That's right. No, it's cool for you guys to continue to show your support for it. Time does, it's cliche stuff, but like time flies. 5 years is pretty wild to think. Like the first show we did was on January 2nd of 2020. Three and a half weeks later, we were heading to Miami. The whole station was at the Super Bowl. We were sharing an Airbnb. I didn't know you all that well yet. I was on an air mattress for a week in Miami.
We went to the game together.
We went to the Super Bowl. We went to the parade. A week later, the world shut down. We were doing shows from your basement during COVID and everything. There were no sports. That was our first 6 months of the show, went from ultimate peak Super Bowl to no sports to talk about. And then just think about what's happened since. And as someone did text us earlier, the Chiefs run started when we started the show. Just saying.
Correct.
Just saying.
No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the three Super Bowls they won, Alex and I were in attendance for. So for some reason, the company decides not to send Alex and I this year. I want to be very clear. We're off the hook.
That's right.
That is not on us.
That pressure is on a different show.
It transfers somewhere else. And we're off the hook.
We'll stay with our undefeated record.
Yeah, we're 3-0. They can't take that away from us.
You know who to blame if the Chiefs lose in the Super Bowl?
Steven Spector. You know what I want you guys to text in? 913-586-7965. Not the obvious moments that are your favorite from the show, which, you know, like Creed is good and some of these other things we've done. I want your underrated moments in this show's history. 913-586-7965. I don't care how small they are. Maybe you just enjoyed it as one person. Just the moments that you were like, I'm not sure what's happening here, but I enjoyed it the most. Doesn't care what it is. Doesn't care if it's a segment. I'd love a few of those on the text line. We can reminisce a little bit. 5 years? That is kind of a crazy amount of time. You did say it's cheapened because it turns out Bob Fesco's been on the air for 15.
That's a long time, man.
Well, dude, there's nothing we can do.
Time.
As long as he's on the air, we'll never catch his number.
That's a long
time. We just have to be proud
time.
Of our number.
15's a long time.
You think we'll make it 15 as a show?
Who knows? Who knows?
I mean, Bob and Josh made it 14 as a show, 15 as a show.
Yeah, you never know. But we appreciate your guys' support. Seriously, we do need to get some new Cody and Gold t-shirts. Some of you have been asking for that. Maybe this is the year to do it. We'll try to get that worked out over the next couple of months as well. You guys can continue to hit us up on the text line. Jay Southland, Toaster, text line 913-586-7965. But let's welcome in Danny Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, Chiefs color analyst for the Chiefs Radio Network. He'll be in Denver on the call with Mitch Holthus, Dan Israel, Josh Klingler right here on 96.5 The Fan. He is presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. I must say, Dana, though, I've enjoyed, I've seen on social media, it seems like you and the family go all out around the holidays, though, whether it's like the random games around the house and stuff. It looked like a ton of fun.
Yeah, man. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Yeah, the Hughes house is active with 5 grown kids and now 4 grandkids. And we are the host house. It does get a little active, I will say. So we have fun, and the holidays. Actually, we have fun all year round, but it seems like the holidays is the time where we have the most time to post stuff, and that's when everything kind of gets shared. But yeah, it was definitely a blessing. We had a lot of fun, and we had a new grandbaby that came as well. So yeah, it's been exciting all around the Hughes fam.
I think my favorite thing I saw, though, and I don't know if this happens every year and people can relate to this, anybody that's probably married that's listening out there, or even if you're just, you know, someone that lives with a significant other right now, your wife gave a presentation on the rules with the thermostat. She had a whole PowerPoint slide. It was incredible.
Jeez.
Yeah, she put it together. Usually I would think, now maybe I'm wrong and I don't want to be sexist here, but I want to feel like as you get older, it's normally the guys that would probably have to set the rules for the thermostat and the temperature in the house. But she flipped the script on me. And she put it all together. It was extremely entertaining. So I got to give her props for that. But because we as men are very literal, so when she said those numbers, just know that in the Hughes house, that's what I'm going to be living on. And so I had to put her on blast, because if she tries to change it up midway in the spring, you guys heard it first here, then I'll have to call her out. So
when you look at what the Chiefs have been 2 weeks ago, Danan, we'd had you on the show, and like nobody on this show or you were sky is falling, but we understood the relatable flaws the Chiefs had as it related to other teams and as it related to this team. 2 weeks later, it feels like almost all of those feel washed away. I know that that's not the case, but they feel like they are in a significantly better spot than they were 2 weeks ago. Just simply Tooney and Hollywood Brown and Aminihou coming back, those three moves seem to have put me in a completely different mood about the Chiefs almost.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly things can change, right? Especially in the NFL, where whether it's injuries, whether it's guys coming back from suspensions, whether it's guys getting healthy at the right time or just making a playoff push, you'll be able to see kind of the sunlight through the fog. And I think that we've had that fog, that haze in front of us for so many weeks, not because we didn't think good about this team. It's because we have such high expectations and they have such high expectations for themselves. So I think it was justified. I don't think it was any kind of ill will from media or players or back and forth. I think everybody just recognizes that this is a very, very special window in time to be a Chiefs fan and to be a part of the Chiefs kingdom. And if they are talking about three-peats while on the stage, not even talking or not even touching the trophy yet in Vegas, we should continue to have that same expectation all the way through the season. So it was only a matter of time. I knew it. I knew things would come together. Heck, last year, right around this time, Christmas Day, there were concerns. And then all of a sudden, there wasn't. And it was pretty much 2 weeks later when that all transpired as well. So I'm happy that we kind of got over the hump. I'm happy that, and you guys have heard me say this in the past, I don't want to be the best team in September. I could care less about being the best team in October and November. December and January is when you want to hit your stride. And there's a lot of teams out there that aren't going to be able to. They're planning their trips to Cancun. They are wishing and looking back. I'm sure this team that we're playing this weekend will look back and say, hey, why didn't we go for two last week against the Bengals when we had a chance at the game-tying touchdown? Why didn't we just snatch that victory away so that we could have rested some of our players and had the luxury of a semi-bye week like some of the other teams are? They may live to regret it. If we're able to go up there and escape with the win, they may live to regret it as that being their defining moment of the season for the Denver Broncos, that they didn't go for two on the road against a team that's playing for the playoffs, and they put all their chips into the middle of the table for one game against a divisional rival. Like, I feel like we are in a much better situation, not just because we got the number one seed, but because we're playing our best football, offense, defense, and special teams.
We're talking to Danan Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan. 2 weeks ago, I was all about, hey, let's see DJ Humphries get a game at left tackle and make it through healthy, and Joe Tooney at left guard is still their best offensive line. I don't think I can say that anymore, as we've seen two games from Joe Tooney on top of the one before, and we still haven't seen DJ Humphries come back from the injury. I think for this year, not long term, but for this year's playoff run, Joe Tooney is actually the best option at left tackle.
It could be. I mean, I think if you took the sample size of these couple of weeks and said Joe Tooney has played exceptional at that position, I would not argue it. I think there's something to be said that he is a Pro Bowl guard. He's been a perennial Pro Bowler or All-Pro guy at that position, at least in mindset, maybe not on paper. And that's where he's best at. And now you have the incentive for DJ Humphries, Wanye Morris, in that you know for a fact, instead of going back and forth in the yo-yo between those two, and Kingsley was mixed in there early in the season, now you really have somebody on your heels that's playing right inside you at that guard position, that if you don't step up your play, there will be a quick trigger to move him outside to the tackle position and not miss a beat with Mike Caliendo at the guard position. And I feel like as a former player, and I was a guy that when they drafted me, they seemed like they were trying to draft a replacement for me every single year after that, whether it was Tamar Vanover, Joe Horn, Kevin Lockett, you know, the list goes Chris Penn, Lake Dawson. Like, you go through the list of guys that were drafted as wide receivers when I was a wide receiver. And it made me play better. It made me try to stake a claim to the position that I had on the team. And I think that's what you're looking for with DJ Humphreys and eventually with Wanye Morris and Kingsley, is that you're trying to get something in them that will stoke a fire that may not be there yet. But it's great to have Joe Tooney kind of in the bullpen, where if things go south or if DJ Humphreys is not healthy or if he's just not playing, that all it takes is a change in one series and we can get the best on the field.
When you look at the wide receiver position, you had mentioned some of those other guys. They've had a lot of competition in that spot this year. I won't ask you who's more impressive. We can get to both. Are you surprised at how easily Hollywood Brown has made it look to get involved in this offense? He has been around, and he certainly can run, but I always, you know, figured even for a veteran, it might take a little bit longer to kind of get the rhythm down. He immediately kind of looked like maybe their biggest threat.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. And part of the reason I'm not surprised is Andy Reid. And this, I mean, this is par for the course for Andy Reid. Wherever he's been, in whatever capacity he's been, especially as a head coach, he knows offense and he knows how to put guys in position to be successful on offense. At whatever position on the offensive unit, wide receiver, quarterback, lineman, tight end, it doesn't matter. Everybody that we've seen take the field has been put in a position of success. So it's not surprising to me that Hollywood Brown, he's been around, he's in his sixth season in the NFL, he's had success, and all you needed for him was to be healthy, and then he would just pick up right where everybody else leaves off with Andy Reid offenses, that he's going to be put in a position. And if he's not necessarily ready for outside the numbers, hitch routes, comeback routes, hook routes, guess what? We'll put you in the slot and run you in shallow crosses and deep crosses until maybe you get a feel for outside the numbers and full speed and running that wide receiver route tree. That's what Andy Reid does. That's what Matt Nagy has done. And then you have the greatest quarterback on the planet and Patrick Mahomes help indoctrinate you into the offense. It's totally not surprising to me that we're seeing what we're seeing from Hollywood Brown. And it's just an appetizer in what we can have. Now you're giving Andy multiple weeks, the mad scientist of offense, multiple weeks with all of his weapons healthy to put forth a strong push towards a third straight Super Bowl. Like, I'd be scared if I was the opponent.
What are you going to be most focused in on come Sunday? We understand the Broncos have to have this game unless the Dolphins and Bengals already lose, but they won't know about the Dolphins results. So they're going full force. The Chiefs are going to start Carson Wentz. Is it him and a chance to get a starting job somewhere else next year? Who do you look forward to watching the most?
I wouldn't say it's the coolest time of the season, but I will say for me, as a guy that was probably number 40 through 47 on the roster most of my career, this is a really cool time of the year, and I'm stoked to watch this game because I want to see those diamonds in the rough. I got a chance to talk with Dave Tobe. He's like, you get to see the future of the Chiefs. Might not be the bright, shiny coins of the first-round picks or the perennial starters that we'll see for years to come, but those role players, those other guys, those diamonds in the rough that are going to be able to play. Jack Cochran, although he's not playing, he's hurt. Last year in week 18, he played over 100 snaps by playing defense and special teams. Cam Jones is a guy that's probably going to assume that role against the Broncos. You got other offensive linemen. We've been hearing about Ethan Driscoll and CJ Hansen. Like, these are guys, and think about it from your perspective. You guys are celebrating anniversary, Fesco celebrating anniversary. It's my fifth year on Players Only, which will be on tonight. It's an anniversary for me as well. Think about if you would have had to spend the first 3 years behind the scenes, not doing nothing, not having any acknowledgement, just helping other shows work, and not getting paid much, and that's all you were known for internally. And now you have an opportunity on the biggest stage. Your parents, your family, your alumni, your colleges, to see Holy Cross. CJ Hansen is a rookie from Holy Cross. Ethan Driscoll from Marshall. Like, you got these kids that this is their dream, and had we not been put in our position to possibly go 16-1, they would not be relegated to opportunities to live their dream out this season. So those are just a couple of names that come to mind. So I think it's a really special time, and that's why I give credit to the coaching staff, the scouting department, and the players who ultimately did their job so that now, amongst other things, these young guys can go and fulfill their dreams. Like, I lived it. I remember, chomping at the bit, waiting for an opportunity for us to be ahead by 2 touchdowns so I can get in the game at wide receiver a little bit more, for us to secure a position so I know I'm starting in a preseason game or in a late regular season game and getting a bunch of reps that other, now in this case, 31 other teams will see how you play. So you're putting yourself in a position of an interview for 31 other NFL teams if you don't make this team. So I know that's a little long-winded, but you can tell it's kind of passionate for me. But I think it's an aspect that we should relish as Chiefs fans, that we get to see the entire roster because our team handled their business these other 17 weeks.
Publicly, Andy Reid has always said, Danan, like, he doesn't care about previous stuff or look back at all of his accomplishments one day when he's all done with the game and everything in between. Do you think he cares that he's not a bigger conversation point for NFL Coach of the Year? Like, it's pretty much largely assumed at this point Kevin O'Connell will win it. He is the heavy betting favorite to win it. Do you think Andy Reid is offended that he doesn't get more pub, considering all the things you just said? Like, they're 15-1. They got a chance for 16 wins. It's not like they didn't have anything go wrong this season.
Yeah, I think you get to an age where some of that doesn't matter. But I think from a human perspective, all of us want to be acknowledged to the level that we deserve, whatever walk of life we're in. So on one hand, Andy's being around this game for so long. He's only won it one other time. And to think guys like Kevin Stefanski has won it twice, and other coaches that haven't had an inkling of success compared to Andy Reid have won it multiple times, or have been in higher consideration multiple times, while he's sitting here with the best record in the league, taking all the bullets from every team for the last 5 years plus, having the most difficult preseason schedule. We can't help how the season unfolds. All we know is that when the schedule makers come together in April, we have been put in a position to have the most difficult schedule just about every season. And yet we put ourselves in a position to secure number one seed, which nobody else has yet, to win every game except for the rival who we beat in the playoffs last year on the road, to do it with an assortment of guys, huge assets on the injured list. And the fact that Andy doesn't get his flowers or acknowledgement because Minnesota's, got 2 losses and they're possibly going to be a number one seed. Like you got to make it make more sense for me, I guess. But to answer your question, I don't think it phases. I think it phases people like us more than it does Andy Reid.
Last one for you, Dana. And just this week in a lot of different playoff scenarios, we know the one directly involving the Broncos going up against the Chiefs. What do you want to have happen, I guess, with the playoff field? And what do you think's going to happen, if that makes sense?
I don't want any positivity to come to the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, I can be honest. I can be biased.
I love it. I love it.
But I'm kind of torn, because I don't want anything positive to happen to the Denver Broncos either. So I guess in that respect, I'd rather the Miami Dolphins be representative of that 7th seed, and we'll let the chips fall where they may in the postseason. I'm sure the Buffalo Bills, of all the teams that they may have to face, they probably would want to face the Miami Dolphins another time versus a very high-powered, offensive-driven Bengals team, and a defensively strong Broncos team. So if you talk about preferences, no player will ever say it, but I'll say it. I don't want the Bengals to have any success. I love the fact that they have to lean on us to help them. And although, you know, I don't want to lose the game because I want to win every game we line up on, I don't want them to be a beneficiary of anything from our side. So if that answers your question,
oh, yeah.
I guess it's cool. Everything that's happening on the NFC side, we'll see them in New Orleans, hopefully. But on the AFC side, we've handled our business. Now we can just finish the season off in the right mode and go into the playoffs with some strong momentum.
That's right. I'm with you, man. Players only tonight, 6 o'clock, right?
Yes, sir.
Be listening tonight. Safe travels out to Denver as well. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate you guys.
There you go. Dane and Hughes joins us thanks to Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. And yeah, players only. He'll have that role on tonight, 6 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan.
I know that like the conversations I think that get tiring on the coach of the year is should or will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We know the will. Kevin O'Connell's going to win the award. He's like minus 1,000 or whatever to win it.
Yeah.
But like I just never understand how a line could be that far off for a guy who has 15 wins. I guess what I care at this point is, like, does he care? Like, if Andy Reid doesn't care, I don't think he cares.
I don't think he cares.
So we should probably care less, because I think if you asked Andy, he'd be like, yeah, whatever.
I guess the
reason I care about winning a Super Bowl. I don't care about if they name me coach of the year. It's just kind of crazy that, like, you can reach a point of success in which you're not allowed to win it anymore.
Yeah, this is...
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I don't think it annoys me as much as it does for maybe you or for other people as well. It's because MVP certainly has happened this way, like with LeBron in the NBA for many years, too. It's unfortunately the way the award... There's no way to take bias out of an award that's voted on by the public and the way that people's brains work on certain things. And we all know Andy Reid's potentially going to go down as the greatest NFL coach of all time, depending on how the next four or five years go. But like the reason why I'm not been out of shape is because, like, not trying to pat myself on the back. Preseason, I told you, do not bet on Andy Reid for coach of the year unless you think they're going undefeated. And it's because we all know.
Pretty close, though.
I know, but that's Cody.
If they'd gone undefeated, would he have won it?
Yes.
Because right now, the odds are pretty steep.
There's no way he wouldn't have won it if they went undefeated.
No, exactly.
Dude, I'm dead serious.
No,
I'm not sure he won.
If he was undefeated, that's.
He's going to be 16 Cody, and 1, and he's.
That's why.
Septuple the odds?
On that betting show on this station. 2 days before the Bills game, 3 days before the Bills game, I said, hey.
Oh, I told you. Yeah, I didn't want to bet it either.
Well, no, it's like, if you think the Chiefs are winning, you can still okay to bet the 15-1 at the time on Andy Reid to win coach. If you think the Chiefs are losing the Bills, you're wasting your money. And what happened? Actually, it was 9-1 when he lost to Buffalo. He fell all the way back to 30-1. We can agree the system might be screwed up, but like it's predictable. So yeah, I don't think it was ever a good bet this year to make an Andy Reid coach of the year bet.
It's never a good
Bill
bet.
Bill Belichick, same deal. Like after this year, it'll be forever harder for Kevin O'Connell to ever win the award again. It is usually an up-and-coming coach or a team that was overachieved. And you could say, well, the Chiefs' win total was only 11.5. They won 15, maybe 16. Sure. But usually it's the team with an injury at quarterback, Sam Darnold starting, and they were thought to win 7 games. And they have a backup quarterback who is putting up numbers, MVP-type numbers. He's not in the conversation for whatever reason, but he's putting up MVP numbers, and they're going to win maybe 15 games and be the number one seed. I don't have a problem with Kevin O'Connell winning it. But yes, the way the Coach of the Year Award works, if you're Andy Reid now, it sucks. You have to basically go undefeated, which is insane.
Yeah, but if Kevin O'Connell loses on Sunday, he doesn't win his division. Why the hell would a 3-loss team...
Because Sam Darnold was his quarterback, and he won 14 games.
At that rate, Dan Campbell would probably...
Dan Campbell could. It's basically Sunday night could decide actually coach of the year. Dan Campbell and to your point, Drew, Kevin O'Connell. So anyway, it's interesting. I don't disagree with you. It's just we've known how this game is played with the coach of the year market. It is you got to be you won 4 games the year before and you win 10 this year. It's why for a little while Harbaugh was in contention with the Chargers. He's done a great job, but then they're only going to end up winning 10 games. It looks like if they would have won 13 and competed for the division, Harbaugh would be in running for coach of the year. Well, you know what I mean? It's just
and the reason why.
And then in baseball, it's not about expectation because the Guardians were supposed to be really good and were good, and then
it's all
the Royals guy
exceeding expectations. Is what it's basically
football.
The coach that exceeded expectations the most and had the most adversity.
But also,
and if you're liked,
but in the way we wanted. Like, not any adversity. And the way we wanted the adversity,
I mean,
their
starting quarterback that they, you know, Sam Darnold was always going to start the first month of the season. JJ, but that's the one thing that people don't acknowledge, I think, with Kevin O'Connell. Like, the case against him would be, yeah, but like going into the season, Sam Darnold was always going to be the starting quarterback. Everybody thinks it would be. JJ, they already said Sam Darnold was always starting week one or two. Mm-hmm. Then we thought he would stink and JJ McCarthy would get in. Well, then JJ McCarthy gets hurt. And so they were stuck with Sam Darnold. And to his credit and the organization's credit, he's been unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
The Lions lost like 15 players to the injured reserve. I mean, it just depends.
And he's got the second best.
Because we're talking about expectation. Well, then the command, you know, then Dan Quinn.
He was in the running. That was my preseason pick for Coach of the Year. But I think clearly they must have had to win the division to be in the running for that.
And people like Dan Campbell, you know, and not that people don't like Andy Reid, but Andy's not sitting up there.
Or Sirianni.
But Andy's not sitting up there saying we're going to. You know, it's really good that we lost actually in this because we needed to get punched in. Like Dan Campbell just comes off as a likable figure, which also helps his case, I think, in a way too.
I mean, everyone loves Andy. His is just
Of course, yeah.
He'll never win it again.
Voter fatigue.
He'll never win it again.
Voter fatigue. It's why Lamar Jackson, even if things were closer with him and Josh Allen, why I think this year is a struggle for him to win it. Because people are like, well, you've already won it twice. You know, we can't give it to you for a third time this quickly.
Give you seven
back-to-back years.
And they're not even the one seed. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it.
So many. Starts with division. Starts with winning your division. And then you work your way up from that, I think, usually is how this award works. Anyway, up next, we'll get to all 32. Plus, we've got the random question of the day right here on Cody and Gold. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp. Drew Nixon with you. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Happy New Year. Good to be back. Full crew. Good to go throughout the playoff run, man. We're about to be in the playoff run here in Kansas City. We'll do this whole thing again.
I can't wait. Excited to be back. As you mentioned, it's our fifth anniversary of the show. I asked people to give our favorite, not big moments we did on the show, just their own personal favorite moments.
Okay.
Boy, they are all over the place. One said Drew's mold problem in the apartment and his search.
Man, people were trying to really help you out on that one. Get you out of that apartment.
Shout out to everybody.
The mold problem.
Some person said when we were arguing over the Amazon box. One person said they sat on my lap when I was Santa at Jefferson's in 2023.
Yeah, they said...
we've done some stuff on this show, man. I don't even remember half of this.
Gum bucket. Yeah, of course. The gum bucket thing. Someone said the suitcase saga with Nick and Ryan was solid gold to them.
The missing suitcase. That was that was something. You weren't even around for that, Drew.
I was not.
Someone, Cody talking about Chris Jones's...
That's recent.
Stands out, someone said.
Someone said that I should be thankful for this year that you're still employed because they'd fire me if you were gone.
Oh, wow.
We're a team. Okay. You know?
This is a Cody and
Gold. Like it or not.
Cody and Gold.
This is not Cody and unnamed person. Or Gold and Wade. Sorry.
Yeah, I know what you meant.
Blank and Gold. Whatever. Yeah. You get the point. Chris Jones's goes to his kneecap. the ones in the most recent couple of months people are mentioning now, like when I said that the college football playoff logo looks like a vagina, and just knowing that Drew's going to think of that every time he sees that logo for the rest of his life.
Someone said that when Gold had the wasp in his outlet that was 2 or 3 years ago. Not returned after that. The wasp in the outlet on the patio was a problem for a bit.
I still can't believe the really terrible timing of the second time we were heading to the Super Bowl as a show, that you were down with food poisoning for like
Arizona, man.
We were in Arizona, ready to cover Radio Row. We didn't see you until like Thursday.
I went down there
we
Monday.
We missed you like half the week.
We went out to dinner on Sunday night. You guys had a different item than I did.
We did. Nick and I actually shared food. We had like a couple of apps to share.
We met a friend of mine that lives out in Arizona, remember? And we had drinks with them. Yeah. And the next morning, I made it to Radio Row, and you guys, like, I looked pale, and you guys, you look like bleep. And then the boss was like, just go home. We got a whole week. Like, you need to go home. So I went back to the Airbnb, and thank goodness for the Airbnb, we had three rooms, but only two of them had connecting bathroom and shower and everything.
Yeah.
Thank goodness I got one of those because
Was like a garage conversion, but it had a shower in it.
For the first 2 days in Arizona Super Bowl week, I just laid in front of that toilet and just Pedialyte wouldn't even stay down. I don't know what the heck was going on. It was awful. By the time we got to Thursday or Friday, I was starting to feel better. And then by the weekend, we were good. Waste management open and all that. But yeah, so that was a crazy one, man.
That was. That I mean, there's like the obvious moments, right? I mean, I loved Creed as good as much as the next person.
Yeah.
Or when we had bottles of Champagne Lyles, right? I mean, you know,
Champagne Lyles.
Plenty of great moments.
Someone
I enjoyed
did say
in the
they did
history.
Enjoy
I
just, it. You know. The MacArthur's 9th Infantry getting botched very quickly. That's true. We did have the one outing. We had that one. Look,
that was
sometimes
a fun outing.
You come up with ideas. Some of them pan out for the long haul. Some don't. And that one did not. We had short-term success with that one. We appreciate the 40 listeners that made it out to the game, 30 listeners that made it out to the game. We had some fun with it that night. Unfortunately, it ended like a week later. Shout out to our guy James MacArthur. He obviously wanted it to go better as well.
Hope he pitches better next year.
That's right.
Lower leverage. He pitched better, you know.
We'll see, you know.
Never know. MacArthur's 9th Infantry might ride again.
Yeah.
Probably won't be the closer next year, but you get the point.
Someone did say for sure, Drew buying his own couch back.
that is honestly,
if you want to know, like, since, like, there's been a lot of fun, but since Drew's been our producer about a year and a half now, I guess, ish or whatever, I still think Drew listing his couch on Facebook Marketplace, the person saying, I'll buy it, but you need to send me $100 first. Drew sending him a person $100 for his own couch. It's like, you know, it's an all, like, that's what I don't know in my life if I'm ever going to forget that, no. that story in that moment. That's an all-timer. Oh my goodness. Anyway.
Yeah,
appreciate you guys for supporting the show. Here's to another five.
Thank you.
As well. Let's get to all 32, though. In the NFL, I don't care what the stats say. And I know we had this great debate around the draft at the time. Yeah. I think you and our old producer Nick wanted George Pickens.
At the time of the draft, I want to make
that
clear.
And I'm not saying like the Chiefs draft pick was great. But I don't care what stats George Pickens puts up this weekend, has put up this year, 900 yards, or the rest of his career, I am still... Today,
still not interested,
so
huh?
glad the Chiefs did not draft him. Did we all watch the Christmas Day game? We all did. Did we not see that mess that you have to deal with on a regular basis where he just gives up on plays that leads to an interception, where he's taken his helmet off three different times during the field of play? I don't know how he didn't get called for a penalty in that circumstance. All of it. I don't know how Mike Tomlin does it. He's done it with Antonio Brown. He's done it with Le'Veon Bell. He's used to it. That's why he's done it. I have no interest in George Pickens ever being in a Chiefs uniform, and I'm actually glad. I know now, by the way, I also know now why they did not draft him. Like, if we're having any doubt, like, why did the Chiefs pass him up? We've seen why. They didn't want that in their building.
So, I would generally agree. Look, if you let me go back in time and swap him for Sky Moore, and I'll be on City, they'll take the swap.
Yeah, I'm good. I just don't need that around. They won Super Bowls without him. We're good.
Yeah, yeah. But like, I mean, again, if you let me make the swap for just that specific player, fine. But let's just say he was a free agent in a year and a half. Is that the player I would target if I were Kansas City? The answer is actually no.
Yeah.
Part of it is because the juice isn't worth the squeeze. If you're going to be this big of a headache at wide receiver, you got to be a star. Antonio Brown was a star.
Yeah, he's just a 900-yard receiver.
1,400 yards a year. He was one of the five best receivers in the sport during his time. Ja'Marr Chase, I think, is a headache. Ja'Marr Chase is one of, if not the best, he's a top five wide receiver in the league. I'll deal with the headaches. But
in game,
you're one
though,
of the five best players.
I'll defend Ja'Marr Chase. I know this, this is stunning.
Wow.
While his comments off the field are stupid at times, saying they're the team to beat in the AFC,
on the field,
he doesn't cause problems on the field. No. He's unbelievable on the field. George Pickens is quitting on plays and ripping his helmet off mid-play.
Yeah, he's a headache. I wouldn't be anywhere near him as a free agent going forward. I mean, go back on the draft. I mean, he was still one of the better guys. Yeah. But yeah, that all goes back to saying Mike Tomlin can't keep you in check. Who can?
I don't think George Pickens will get a second contract in Pittsburgh.
I don't think so either. I'd be kind of surprised. They've let a lot of other talented wide receivers go, so that wouldn't surprise me. I'm a little surprised when I learned yesterday just how much power people in the sports media can wield over organizations in which they reform. Maybe this does give me a chance to help UMKC. Pat McAfee sent out a long, incredibly critical tweet in which he claims he's going to cancel his season tickets. And bitched about where the Colts are headed as a franchise. And look, there's a lot of ugly stuff coming out about Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
That essentially he's just not a hard worker. And that everybody in the building is like, come on, Anthony, we need you to try. And he's not trying. But Pat McAfee's sending it out. And then immediately the rumor mill starting that is, well, maybe they will shake up the entire front office and shake everything up and change everything about the organization. Be very careful. Because what I think is being missing this is like, I actually think Pat McAfee's tweet does have an impact on the way they make the decisions. And part of the reason that Chris Ballard and the head coaches there haven't had to have enough success is because they have terrible ownership.
Well, yeah, Jim Irsay.
Jim Irsay is a bad owner. And in the NFL in particular, it is almost impossible to overcome bad ownership. It can be done, but it is a lot of work.
You need a good quarterback. And that's the thing that I think is getting missed here. To do it.
A great quarterback, right? Yeah. Not good.
Great, yes.
Great. Chris Ballard. I think that Joe Burrow might be an example of that in Cincinnati. Their ownership stunk.
Yeah.
They were awful forever. They finally got a quarterback who could at least make them relevant enough.
Yeah, Chris Ballard, the GM, and we obviously people here is familiar to him with the Chiefs organization for many years as well. But at some point, maybe it's this offseason. I don't know, like, been a pretty staunch defender of Ballard, but at some point, like, you got dealt a bad hand your first year, whatever, when Luck retired out of nowhere. You get a pass for that, not your fault. Got to rebuild your whole roster on that. But they haven't done anything since he's been the GM.
This is the fourth or fifth starting quarterback he's personally chosen. Yeah. So
they were rotating old guys. They had Rivers, Ryan, and
Carson Wentz, right?
Yeah, they had Carson in there too.
Traded for Carson Wentz.
That's right.
They ended up trading him back for more than they traded him to. So I actually let Chris Ballard off the hook on the trade part of the Carson Wentz one because they got even more back in return somehow from Washington. God knows what the hell they were doing.
The fact that Matt Ryan started games for them recently is wild. Yeah.
Feels like he's been on TV for 15 years.
He's terrible on TV.
Phil Rivers took him to a playoff game, I think, when they played the Bills. That was a while ago.
But that's it. Yeah. Overcoming bad ownership in the NFL is really hard. And the fact that you're saying he should not care what Pat McAfee thinks about him. He should not care about what Pat McAfee thinks about his organization. He shouldn't care if he threatens to cancel his season tickets. The same as Tepper shouldn't have cared that a bar in Carolina had a sign out that suggested to fire him. You're far too important to worry about those things. That's all I'm saying.
Speaking of bad organizations, the New York Jets, you guys asked it to Vinny as well, but Aaron Rodgers has acknowledged that this, you know, could be his final NFL game. He was asked about it. Of course, he said, "This game has given me a lot. I've given a lot back to it, and I'm thankful for it. I won't be thinking about that on game day. I'll just be enjoying this, trying to stay in the moment." You don't think Aaron Rodgers is not going to try to go out a loser. They're going to try to win the game. I know the Jets are a mess. Where so much so, Sauce Gardner saying, "Pay that man," regarding Teagan. Somebody says, "Tell him to come to the Jets," and he said, "I will not be doing that." In a response to that comment, they're a mess. But I think Aaron Rodgers, I think they're going to try to win the game against Miami and try to ruin their hopes.
Well, of course.
Also,
they have nothing else to play for.
It is some wishful thinking as well for myself that Aaron Rodgers can try to go back to 2019. Please, just one time, Aaron. Just one time.
He said he's not going to go into the darkness this offseason?
No ayahuasca. Correct. I never finished the documentary.
You never finished? It's only like three episodes and you started.
Three episodes, the Aaron Rodgers doc. I watched an episode and a half.
What have you been watching since?
I haven't gone back. I watched the new Nate Borghazi
stand-up special?
Stand-up. What else did I watch?
I started Squid Game Season 2.
I haven't started
Silo
that.
Season 2.
They already announced Squid Game Season 3.
But I haven't gotten any further yet.
Okay, I need to watch Squid Game. I still never finished Season 1, so that's part of the problem.
You only got like an episode in.
I know. And I watched Carry On, the Netflix movie that has been in.
That's
I thought it was decent. I'm not saying like it's the greatest thing ever. It was fun. Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, that was good.
Interesting plot.
I did get a little bit more TV time in during this. Not crazy. Kids, dude, like holidays would be like, "You're off work. You must feel like you have so much time."
More times to do stuff with the kids. You had to go take them places, do stuff, right?
Well, and they just like, you know, Desmond wants to, at the moment, my son is at the age where he would like to, everything involves like you being a collaborator in this. So he got a giant RC Godzilla that breathes smoke.
Yeah, I think
stops.
I had that as a kid too, man. I know exactly what you're talking about.
So giant RC
Godzilla. You got to pour a little water in it, into it,
the newest movie, his back lights up, so it goes like.
Oh yeah, I think I had one of those as a kid.
And then he breathes smoke, but then that means I got to be every other toy battling Godzilla, and it, you know, like so that takes an hour probably. You know,
someone said, "Didn't you guys watch the Chiefsaholic doc?" I did. You were off on that Friday, but that was the day the embargo got lifted.
So we talked about it. And I watched it before it started.
Since then, people have had a very similar opinion on it, which is the one lady super fan from New Jersey is in love with Chiefsaholic and is embarrassing for all super fans.
Makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, like out of all, they interviewed a bunch of super fans involved with the Chiefsaholic documentary. She's the person that's writing love letters to the guy in federal prison. That's her. It was really awkward. She tried to defend him at every turn, and you could tell she had a thing for him.
Yeah, it makes me.
Did you watch it, Drew? You finished watching it?
Yeah, having a thing, but yeah, having a thing for somebody is one thing, but also defending them when they're clearly I don't know. I think that there's like levels to it of having a thing for somebody and also like vehemently defending them.
Yeah. There's probably a difference between
I just
the
think
two.
There's levels to it.
Yeah. People are just naming it. Someone says, Torching 2024 is the roast of the year. Very funny on Netflix. I watched it. I thought it was like just thrown together. Like, so
thrown together.
Who was a part of it?
It was an hour. I mean, they had the usual suspects involved with it, but like, it just, it was thrown together. It was lazy, thrown together 1 hour. Like, hey, Netflix told us we got to put together this roast of the year thing. It was awful. Like, Ross was part of it, but like, it was just, it was not.
Someone mentioned the Beast Games on Amazon. Isn't that just essentially real life Squid Game? Like, it feels like, is it? Well, that's essentially.
I don't know what that is.
Mr. Beast.
Die, but
are you familiar with him?
Yes, the streamer.
That's the Beast Games.
Oh, I'm out.
He has
a reality TV.
For a ton of money.
For like $5 million.
The guy makes like $1 million a day or something. I know. It's insane.
That's a lot of money.
It just infuriates me. But no, I have.
Make so much money?
Does
it infuriate that Mahomes makes $1 million a day?
No, the Mr. Beast thing is ridiculous.
It's all entertainment stuff.
Yeah, I have no interest in Mr. Beast.
You could have been that gold. You had the YouTube channel. You just had to.
You should have kept time, stuck with it. Dude.
I didn't have a YouTube channel.
You could have been Ninja.
12-year-old
this
me.
This could have been you.
Doing
that's right.
Gaming Talk HQ podcast at 12 years old.
You would have had to change the name. That wouldn't have lasted long enough.
Yeah, it was a bad name.
You need
but
a cooler name.
I got free for me. My 12-year-old me was happy to get free video games sent to me to do reviews.
Someone says the Beast Games is actually super super good. My kids know who Mr. Beast is because they're 6 and 8. Not surprising. They have not shown any interest in watching the Beast Games yet. Though we did have to watch the most recent Godzilla movie because of that. It was PG-13 and he's 6, but eh.
He's not even half the age. He's half the age. Okay.
Close. You know what?
It's all right.
I felt pretty close. I watched it with him. I didn't, you know.
Well, and also, when did you start watching rated R movies, Cody? Like, when's the first rated R movie
when
you
I was
watched?
Like 6 or 7, probably.
There
you Are
go.
You kidding?
There you go.
That's not a great sign. I would just tell other people maybe not do that, but. I don't know.
Someone says we watched Tires yet. I did watch season 1, yes. Shane Gillis is in that.
I haven't seen that.
They're like, 25, 30-minute episodes. Quick watch. It's funny. Yeah, I did. I enjoyed it.
By the way, I did get confirmation. Vinny Pasquantino, who we'll hear again at 1:30. Multiple people keep saying he sounds like Shane Gillis.
Yeah.
He says he gets that a lot.
Okay, and you asked him?
He says he gets that frequently. I was like, do people tell you sound like Shane Gillis? Because we get it on the text line all the time. He's like, yeah. Not the first time he's heard it, apparently.
There you go.
I like this. This could have easily been the random question of the day.
I know. I was saying we're going to get to the random question of the day.
Oh, we can do something else for a minute. We'll get to that at
1 o'clock hour. Yeah,
it's unrelated.
Let's move that back a little bit.
Let's talk instead that it's a new year, mm-hmm. So people have an opportunity to maybe not have the worst take of the year. Early contenders this year. Very impressed.
Yeah, we're only on the second day of 2025, and these two might go down as the worst takes of the entire year already. They're both Chiefs-related. One happens to come from Chris Brockman. If you don't know who that is, he's basically what, like the executive producer of the Rich Eisen show. And he was talking about what I think is a preview for all of us of what the narrative is going to be if the Chiefs three-peat and become the greatest NFL dynasty ever. Here's what they're going to be saying in New England and in Massachusetts and these fans of the Patriots. This was, I think, a preview.
Oh, here we go.
Here's the other biggest difference. The Chiefs are doing it with the help of the league and the officials. The Patriots did it in spite of them. Do I need to bring up forfeitures and gates and all that other crap?
I speak New England.
Jeez.
Okay. That's right. I don't know the last time. Did Matt Nagy, when he left the staff, drop a dime on the league about something Reed was doing? Did that happen?
You know, Andy was maybe doing something.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, come here. I mean, you're doing
what
something.
Do we know? What do
everybody
we know?
Was. What was Bill doing? Huh? Huh? Where's the man genie on the Chiefs?
Could have been Nagy.
Get out of here. We did it in spite of the league doing everything they can to hold us down.
This guy can't handle that the Patriots might be, when it's all said and done, the second greatest dynasty of this century.
Rich Eisen, 100%.
Nails
that's
it
what
there.
It, we've been saying this for a couple years, though.
In spite of, like, did we watch the Patriots run?
But you can tell in New England, and someone who's from New England I used to work with when I was in Houston or whatever, and you've met him before, Matt, who does gambling content out in Vegas. I've told you this off air and on air that he's very anti-Chiefs, and I think he's a Patriots fan, and he covered the Patriots and covers the league and everything. There's a real threat that the Chiefs have towards Patriots fans. Like, that they look at the Chiefs and they recognize, first it started with the Brady Mahomes thing. Like, and they calmed down a little bit once Brady beat Mahomes head to head in the Super Bowl. But for a while, they started getting really nervous that Mahomes might catch Brady as the greatest of all time. And he still could. And then that kind of quieted down. And then now it's like, oh, shoot, they're about to maybe do something that we didn't even do in New England. And so is this guy out there saying that
the league, is setting it up
and making it easier for the Chiefs. Is that really going to be the spin from Patriots fans? Give me a break. And Rich Eisen's 100% correct. You haven't heard anything about anybody that's left this staff, Eric Bieniemy, Doug Peterson, Matt Nagy, anything saying anything about they're cheating or anything like that. Nope. No, that was only Bill Belichick and the Patriots. So get out of here.
They also got caught doing
Spygate.
Like, look, we can all, just for the sake of this argument, let's just erase Deflategate and say that that didn't mean anything.
Yes. I think
and also,
fair.
I would like to point out that these teams are not no Super Bowls were taken away or anything right. as a result of right. this. Are you kidding me? I mean, the league, I mean, do we watch the Chiefs? All the stats, by the way, pointed this out a million times in a row, and I don't have the energy to fight all the strangers on the internet. Some do. The Chiefs are like the least, they're like the most penalized team in the fourth quarter this year. Like, in pivotal moments, no one gets more things called against them than Kansas City. It's like the opposite. And I don't think that the league is helping Kansas City either or hurting Kansas City. I think they just treat them like every other team in the league. They just happen to have Patrick Mahomes.
So that was a terrible take. I told you there's two already. 2 days into the new year, we have two terrible takes already out there.
The second one?
The second one is so bad that the platform that released it deleted the tweet. I'm dead serious. So Breakfast Ball, you guys know, old friend of the station, Danny Parkins, is now on Breakfast Balls on FS1. And he hosts it with Schlereth and Craig Carton. So they were doing a segment that everybody's done before, your bold prediction for 2025. Like, okay, we've all done that before. That's fine. You can have a bold prediction. The problem is when it's factually inaccurate and when you're trying to use someone else's shtick for the last 4 years. The reason why I can't play you audio is they legit deleted the clip.
I can read it if you guys want.
I can read the quote, yeah. But they cut out the audio. And the clip is gone forever, kind of. Here's the quote from Craig Carton. Quote, Andy Reid will retire from the NFL in 2025. It's a wrap. The run is over. Kansas City will be in the market for a new head coach in 2025. Bold prediction. He's old. He's got diabetes.
At some point,
you want to go out with your resume perfectly intact. That's the quote. I was quoting Craig Carton. One, he also goes on to say Andy Reid is 70 years old. He's 66 years old. 4 years is a big deal in this circumstance.
He has diabetes?
Yeah, that's like, what are we doing? Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why they deleted the clip.
I guarantee
that might be why. You cannot find it.
Yeah, FS1 deleted it. They scrubbed
on Twitter,
it's gone. So I don't know if that's why.
So somebody saves the clip. Please send it to us.
Yeah, like, it's fine to make a bold prediction. But it's you're 4 years off on the age. And Mike Florio's already done this for 4 years. Like, at least you're going to try to play the dumb take about retirement. Mike Florio's been trying this crap for 4 years, and you're way off. Yeah, you're way off the pace here. So that, I don't know which take is worse. I think the Patriots one is worse. They both suck.
Didn't you guys say that? I mean, because technically, if Andy does go 4 more years and he is 70 and then he retires,
I think he might go 6 more years.
Yeah.
Because Belichick's in college now, Andy Reid legit, if he gets another ring or two, we'll have a real case. He's going to definitely reach the win total, I think. And then we'll see. And he's going to go out more on top than it looks like Belichick obviously did with the final couple years in New England. There's going to be a big case to be made for Andy Reid to be the greatest coach of all time. He's not there yet. That's still Belichick as things sit right this second. But when it's all said and done, whether it's 4 years from now, 6 years, I don't know, Andy Reid's going to have a case, a really strong case.
Same thing. I think he just got to be within a ring or two. It doesn't have to be the same number of rings. All things are not created equal. Andy Reid has spent the first 10, 15 years of his career with Kevin Cobb and Donovan McNabb and Michael Vick post-prison. Like, I mean, you know, like he, I mean, look, I'm not saying some of those guys weren't good quarterbacks. Some of them were good quarterbacks. But not a single one of them is going to go down as best quarterbacks in the
See Michael Vick
time.
Coach in college now? How cool is that?
I did.
At Norfolk State, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was one
not,
more.
Not Sac State.
Correct.
Yeah. But Norfolk was the first one we mentioned on the show.
Deshaun Jackson's
also
good. He's at another school as well. We're starting. We talked about this with the success that Deion had. Mm-hmm. You're going to have more former players that play in the league. And specifically, we're talking about, you know, African-American coaches as well going to coach HBCUs.
Smart for HBCUs to do it, too, to get those guys in there.
Love Absolutely. It. All right, guys. Coming up next, we get to the 1 o'clock hour. We'll work in a random question of the day. But there's one thing that 2 weeks ago was clear, and now I think it's the complete opposite. We'll explain what that is next.